Last week we shared Ephesians 5:18. Remember 5:18, the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. That's a debauchery. But then the following phrase is, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know the next verse? Ephesians 5:19. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it is, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart is unto the Lord. And that's what we did this morning. That's what we did. We just got done with that. And thank you. Thank you, those who sang today and have sung. Thank you, Lori, for the hours you put in. People up in the sound booth, thank you for what you do. Thank you for those that grab a mic and sing solos and such. Right, Shannon and Craig, thank you for doing that. And oh, Vicky back there, wherever she is. Thank you, right there. Thank you. Tom, thanks for visiting. Tom in the back, thank you for sharing ministry through music. And you're doing exactly what Ephesians 5:19 says. So if you follow, if Ephesians 5:18 is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the following is to speak to one another in those spiritual hymns and songs, do you see how music is vital to our spiritual growth? I hope we see that this morning. So thank you. Thank you, choir. Thank you for Peggy. It couldn't have been comfortable standing up here with everything you've gone through in the last couple of weeks, standing up here and singing to us. So thank you. Thank you for that. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22. And then we're going to go all the way to chapter 6, verse 5, Lord willing, this morning. Hope you had a great week of following the Spirit, living spiritually. Were you found submitting, depending, and trusting on God this week? Because that is following the Spirit. Last week, we got through kind of the first half of the message, and that was to remind ourselves that, hey, there's forewarnings in spiritual living. There's friction, right? The flesh and the spirit. There's friction within spiritual living. There's a following of spiritual living, right? Following the Spirit. But our final point this morning is the fruit of spiritual living. The fruit of spiritual living. There's been a bunch of pictures in our study of Galatians. We just have one more study after this week. Next week we'll finish up chapter 6. But there's been a bunch of pictures over the last couple of weeks. We're no longer under the yoke of bondage. We now yoke with Christ. We see that picture in Matthew chapter 11. Last week we follow the Spirit. Do you see that picture? And if we follow the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And now there's the third picture for us this week. And that is of the fruit on the branches that we know so well, right? The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Paul, you could say, is picking up on a previous message of Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 15. Jesus made it clear. He said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him brings much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So he gives us the picture as well. Hey, if there's going to be fruit, you must abide in me like a branch abides in the vine. You guys have noticed everything is going in bloom around here, right? We see the wildflowers. I drove by the Food Lion and the tulips are popping up. I think they're dogwood trees, right? These white petaled trees, I think they're called dogwood, maybe Bradford pear, I've heard. And I was going to grab a branch and bring it up. And then I realized, no, that branch belongs to my neighbor, and he probably wouldn't want me to go hacking off a branch off his tree. None of the trees on my property have bloomed yet, so I'm gonna have to wait a little bit on that. But if I brought in a branch with those pretty white petals, the picture is obvious. Those white petals will soon disappear. Why? Because they're separated from the vine. But because they were connected to the vine, because they drew their essence from the vine that went down to the root and pulled up the sustenance so needed for life, what came about? The white petals, the fruit. So this picture is so easy for our minds to understand and so easy to take this picture and let it convey to us this understanding of the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And you might be saying, okay, this is timely because I need some fruit in my life. So you may say, hey, give me that method. Give me a method. Give me a 1-2-3-point outline, Pastor Dave, and I'll even write it on the back of my bulletin. There's a notes section in the back. Give me that 1-2-3 method, and ta-da, fruit. The Word of God doesn't give us a method. The Word of God gives us a mandate. And the mandate is to abide. The mandate is to abide. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. And unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. So what does the word abide mean? Abide means to dwell, to remain in, to live, right? 2 weeks ago, I mentioned how Chris, in lovesick fashion, had to win over Lori's heart. I don't know if you remember that illustration, it was a couple weeks ago. And again, this is based on a YouTube documentary that I found about the Lori and Chris story. It's called, if you want to write this down, it's called Lovely Kiss, Lori and Chris Story. It's YouTube streaming, totally worth the streaming price. Anyway, there's an episode, hate to be the spoiler, but there's an episode there in which Chris comes across a to-do list. And at the top of it, it says, how to love Chris today. And there's a list. It says, 8:43 a.m., tell Chris, I like how your watch matches your belt buckle. The red element, number two, it says at 10:29, text Chris these words, you are my sunshine, heart emoji, sun emoji. Under it, number three, it says 1:53, smile at Chris, okay? Number four, at 2:58, look at Chris and give him the idea that you're thinking about making him cookies later. There was more to the list, but Lori walked into the room and Chris just kind of shuffled it in the back of a book that he was looking at, and he went on with his day. But sure enough, at 8:43, Lori found Chris and said, hey, I like how your watch matches your belt buckle. And like clockwork through the day, Lori sent texts, he smiled, he gave Chris the, hey, you might get cookies later at a point in time. What do you think Chris was thinking? Chris was thinking, this seems more like some sort of method, not just a lived out, spontaneous, in the moment, every moment love. Silly illustration, I know. Thank you for bearing with me. But you can see what the point is. The point is this, Jesus calls us to life with him. Jesus calls us to life with him. Not a 1-2-3 methodology. At the front end, let's understand this, that spiritual living is not so much a pursuit of the fruit that's on the vine. It's to pursue Jesus. Christ is mine forevermore. The fruits of the Spirit are the byproduct of abiding in Jesus. So we understand this word abide is very important. So what does abide mean? Let's ask ourselves this question and try our best to answer it. What does abide mean? Let's go right to scripture, of course. In John chapter 15, we see abide in me. But John chapter 6, verse 56, we see this, that to abide in Christ is to find satisfaction in the Father's will. So if you're wondering what abide means, let's start there. Abiding in Christ is finding satisfaction in the Father's will. So I take us to John 6:56. Jesus says this, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And you might be going, whoa, that verse is pretty powerful. That's pretty emphatic. That's pretty picturesque. It may even seem hard to understand. Well, Jesus, in the context of John chapter 6, is having a conversation with the religious leaders. And he's just explained to them very clearly that just as your forefathers were in the wilderness, there was one option for food. And that was the bread from heaven. That was the manna. So he started them off easily. He said, hey, listen, I'm the bread that's come from heaven. That's John chapter 6, verse 41. I am the bread of heaven. And again, you must eat of me to understand that that's the only way of survival. You must believe in me. No belief in Jesus, there's no everlasting life. Jesus is not being abrasive. He is saying this, hungry people, come to me. I tell you, I am the food source. There's no other way to eternal life. There's no other way to eternal peace that you long for apart from me. So chapter 6, verse 53 of the same chapter, John chapter 6, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Would those words have jolted the listener as it does today? Yes. And that was the point. Come to me in faith, believing. I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. I am what you need. So abiding or living our lives with Jesus, Jesus never stops being the source of our satisfaction. He's the ultimate satisfaction in that he gives us eternal life, our salvation. But he is our satisfaction in our day-to-day walk with him in this process of sanctification. So what does this look like? What does this look like to have our hunger satisfied in doing the Father's will? Can I take us to another conversation that Jesus had? And this is in John chapter 4. Do you remember a time where Jesus was hungry? His disciples were hungry, and he told his disciples, you guys got to go to town. You got to get us some food. It is lunchtime. Jesus stayed behind, and you know this story well. He had a conversation with a woman who came to the well. I won't get into that conversation this morning. But the disciples come back with food. And Jesus says this. He says, I have food to eat that you don't know about. This is John chapter 4, verse 32. I've got food you don't know about. And the disciples must be thinking, what? Just like you or I would. When did you get this food? You had a cooler this whole time? You didn't tell us? Did somebody bring you food and we don't know about it? This is Jesus' response. John chapter 4, verse 32. Verse 34. My food. My satisfaction, my essence, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So what satisfied the life hunger of Jesus? Doing his Father's will. Are we like his disciples and don't know about this food source? Are we coming up empty Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday? Are we coming up empty? Realize, why am I sensing an emptiness? Your food sources to be the Father's will, just like the Savior exemplified for us. We push back from the table, don't we? When we had our fill of roast and potato, bread, salad, right? We push away from the table and say, oh, that hit the spot. Can I submit to you this morning that likewise, doing the Father's will creates a satisfaction at the very core of your being that is undeniable. How many found that to be true? By testimony, how many have found that to be true? The psalmist found that to be as true as well. Psalm 63, verse 5. Notice these words. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Abiding in Christ is to find satisfaction in the Father's will. How about this? Abiding in Christ is abiding in the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abiding, remember, means also remain. So abiding in Christ means we remain in his word. Let me give you some more scripture. Here's John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, Jesus says again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Do we see the two great disciplines of the Christian's life in that verse, John 15, verse 7? Do we see that? Bible reading and prayer. Reading his words, remaining, abiding in those words, following through and obeying, and then inquiring of and receiving from the Lord through prayer. It correlates very well with 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I think these words are also up on the screen. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So John chapter 15 is teaching us to abide in God's word to the point that we discover God's will, pray for it, and see it come to pass in our lives, or we ask according to his will, the Bible talks about in James. Can we agree this morning that this is a high level of knowing God's word? Wouldn't you agree? Reading, meditating, desiring to discover the heart and will of God through his inspired word. Oh, how I love your law. It is a meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 97. Don't you just love getting into God's word? Maybe this has happened to you. You pore over scripture. and it just seems like time stops. Time is of no concern. Yes, there's things to do, but you're so absorbed into God's word, it's like everything else becomes small in comparison. Or maybe we should say the small things become small again because they were supposed to stay small this whole time, right? Right? You find yourself more like a Mary at the feet of Jesus than concerned about the Martha to-do list. And then when it's time to get up and go, we find ourselves whispering one more prayer. Lord, let your word, let this conversation of prayer just go all day long. That's abiding in his word. That's abiding in our relationship with him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, I've written to you, young men, because you're strong. Why are you strong? Next words, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Abiding in his word means we remain in it. We know his will through it, and now we have victory through it. Victorious young men had victory. How? The word of God abided in them. Psalm 119, verse 11, a verse you know. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And who is our perfect example? Who is strong against all temptation? Who is strong in the Father's will? Who saw his Father's power working through him? Of course, Jesus. I like what Donald Whitney, he's of Southern Theological. He wrote a book that I'm enjoying right now. It's about spiritual health. And he writes a chapter. It's called The Word Was Governed by the Word. The Word was governed by the Word. The Word, that's a reference to John 1:1, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, the Word, Jesus Christ, was governed by what? The Word. Wow, that'll put your head in a spinning mode. But Jesus allowed the Word of the Father to govern him, although he embodied the very Word of God. What did we hear coming out of Jesus' mouth? Well, the Word of God. To the tempter, what did he say? It is written. To the Pharisee, he said, is it not written? Or have you not read? To his disciples, he opened up. You see this in Luke 24. Jesus opened the scriptures to them, and their hearts burned within them. You remember in Luke 24? The Word was governed by the Word. How much more so his followers? Whitney goes on to write this. As it was for Jesus, it is normal for Jesus' followers to be governed by Scripture. And those who are becoming more like Jesus will, over time, live more and more by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. To abide in Christ is to abide in his word. To abide in the Father's will, to abide in his word. Here's another thought. Abiding in Christ is to abide in his love through obedience to his commandments. Abiding in Christ is to abide in his love through obedience to his commandments. John 15, 9 to 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Did you see the stair step in verse 9? Father loved me. I love you. Now you love also. Then we kind of see it in verse 10 as well. The Father commanded me. I kept the command, Jesus said. Now you keep my commands. This is abiding in his love. Do you remember the slinky toy when you were a kid? Yeah. In the slinky toy, I had to look this up. But it was invented back in 1943. So Pastor missed it by a couple of years. Kidding. It was invented in... right up here in Philadelphia. Kind of interesting. But you remember the slinky effect? Each arch or step that the slinky took down matched the previous one. It matched perfectly, right? And we're to match the function of love and obedience sent down from the Father to the Son and then to us. And we cry, this is wonderful. I'm so grateful. This love is given. This love has been taught. This love has been exemplified perfectly by Jesus. Touch the blind. Give ear to the hurting. Reach out to the lonely, the rejected. Jesus did it all. All the time, perfectly. His love was action. And then he says to us, keep it going. Keep it going. Abiding in his love is to receive the downward flow of the Father's love, living it out in copycat obedience, the very copycat obedience of Jesus. So we pray, Holy Spirit, remind us this week that when we sense the Father's love through the Son, like that slinky, let us pass that love to our neighbor, to our sons, to our daughters, to our spouses, to our stranger, to the stranger, to the one that even rebuff it and refuse it. We have a call to love as Christ loved. John 21:21, as the Father sent me, I also send you. And think of it this way. Isn't loving people instant ministry? I'm thinking about that a little bit this week. Loving people is instant ministry. Instantly, yeah. People may argue the deity of Christ. Maybe they'll argue miracles. But they can't argue the unconditional love that is not of this world that they're seeing in us. We know it's from the Father. They can't argue that it's a byproduct of something that doesn't belong to this world. It's instant ministry. It's instantly testifying. I heard of a Christian friend of mine, that she had a little small dispute with her neighbor. And when I heard the story, my first thought was, wow, that's the neighbor's way overreacting. Well, this Christian lady said, no, I bought the lady a flower, went to her doorbell, rung it, apologized, and made sure she was still a friend. What was she doing? She was taking the downward flow of love from the Father through the Son and then to her neighbor. I know my own flesh. My own flesh says, well, hey, neighbor's overreacting. No, as the Father has sent me, I send you to love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So what is it to abide in Christ? To abide in his word, to abide in the Father's will, to abide in his love. But let's ask another question this morning. What are the works of the flesh? And this is where we're now in Galatians chapter 5. So if you haven't turned to Galatians, make sure you do that. I got to catch up with you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Before we get to the fruits of the Spirit, we get to the works of the flesh. Let's read them. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's break down this list rather quickly, but for a Christian, this is a list of sins that, remember, last week, we're dead to. We're dead to these sins. But sins, we remember, these sins can come alive in us again upon feeding the flesh. Very quickly, adultery and fornication. That is sexual sin, of course. The Bible says sexual unity is between a man and a woman and between a married husband and wife alone. Uncleanliness and lewdness is sexual impurity at the heart and mind level. And it's really saying this. It's really our flesh saying this. God, I'll decide what I want. When it comes to sexual practice, I'll decide what I want. Idolatry, sorcery, or witchcraft is rebellion against God's lordship. But so are the next several terms. So is hatred, contentions, and jealousy. Because God says to love, be kind, and be thankful. To do the opposite is what? It's rebellion. It's rebellion against him. It's saying this. God, I'll worship me. Not you. I'll do what I want. Outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions is worship of self. Wrath defends self instead of humbling it. Selfish ambitions elevate self instead of humbling it. It's saying, God, self's going to be first, not you. Not the God of the universe, self, me, I'll be first. Dissensions cause division. Heresy is to elevate man's teachings over God. It's saying, I'll teach doctrine without you, God. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, which is rioting, is full-scale loving self to the point of hurting others. It's saying, I'll make self God. And self is going to answer to no one. No wonder Galatians, the big theme, much of the theme in Galatians has been what? Crucify the flesh. Crucify it. And Romans says, reckon it to be dead. Don't feed it. Stay away from it. Starve it, right? Remember from last week, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit needs to stay hot within us. Hot. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit of God in your life. Don't stifle the fire. Keep it burning. Let that fire be aflame. This week, I guess it was one of the highlights of my week. I guess it's a guy thing, but I got to burn some things. Most of the guys in here go, oh, yeah, burn something. So I was out burning some stuff out in the back frontier. Not really, just a little parcel of land. But it's my land. And I was burning some sticks. And I was reminded all over again, dry wood can really burn hot. Joy came out and said, hey, you need a jacket? It's kind of chilly out here. Oh, no. I was about 3 or 4 feet from that cooker, feeling the heat, feeling it. You know what burns fast is dried, dead wood. Sapless, dry, broken sticks. Whoa. God, I pray, find me to be dried with no sap of selfishness. God, find me dead, broken to my will. When we die to self, the flames of the Spirit burn it up. Throw self-defeated, selfless logs on the fire. And what does Galatians tell us? Very practically, serve others, ask for forgiveness, call out to God in dependence, give to others, admit our faults and our failures, cry out for wisdom, sing praises to the Savior, be a witness of God creating life from death. And oh, the Holy Spirit will burn in our life. What a thought. Is a Holy Spirit burning in our life today? Is a Holy Spirit burning in our church today? Oh, and by the way, when that's happening, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh? How about this? What are the fruits of the Spirit? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What are the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit are what show up when we abide in Christ. And I got thinking this week, wouldn't it be nice if somebody did a whole series on the fruit of the spirits? And then I realized, is there a picture up there for us? Yeah, it happened. It happened about a year ago. That's Pastor Greg, and he's preaching, I think that week it was patience. So here's what I need you to do. If you need to fresh up on the fruits of the Spirit, go back into Facebook videos and go back about a year, and you're going to see him one sermon after one sermon after one sermon in which Pastor outlines and breaks down each one of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you have not set up a Facebook account, Pastor will help you with that as well. Dave, you ridiculed technology last week. I heard you. You were ridiculing technology last week. That was under the assumption that we weren't looking up great sermons. And we have the opportunity to use technology in a great way. Go back and see some of these sermons that Pastor preached for us. But we see the great contrast in Galatians chapter 5, 22. The results of the flesh and then the results of the Spirit. Christian, we can take daily inventory by using the fruits of the Spirit. What's showing up in my life? What's showing up in my conversations? What's showing up in my search history? My response to others? How is my life trending? They say numbers don't lie. I throw out, hey, fruits don't lie. They identify. So let's ask ourselves this. Fruits identify what is going on in your life, or how do fruits identify what is going on in our life? Well, fruit tells us what the tree is. I know that's pretty basic, right? You don't find apples on a coconut tree. You don't find carrots on a blueberry bush, right? The love of Christ is within a Christian. The peace of God is within the person abiding in Christ. When we see the fruits of the Spirit in our life, we can be encouraged and let it lead to joy, joy unspeakable. And it can lead to more hymns and psalms and spiritual songs of praise when we see what God is doing in our lives, right? We can also find reason for concern if the fruits of the Spirit are not resounding traits in our lives. We can troubleshoot. Man, in this conversation, I'm not having love. I'm not having patience. There's no kindness in me. What is that pointing to? The quenching of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said we will bear much fruit if we abide in him. Is there much fruit? Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says this, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do we see that life and peace in our life? Are the fruits of the Spirit a testimony to us individually today, personally, to you today through what God is doing in your life? Yeah, they identify where we are in our life. How about this? Fruits identify us to the world. Fruits identify us to the world. The Bible says, John 13, 35, Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We should stick out like sore thumbs, right? Like a flower in the desert or a Ford t-shirt at a Chevy rally, right? We should stick out. The fruits of the Spirit should make everyone go, hey, what do we got here? We got love for the unlovable? What's going on here? We got patience under stress? What's going on here? We don't see this around much. What's going on here? Yeah, the fruit should identify us to the world. I went to a football game in Kansas City. This is Kansas City Chiefs, if you're not a football person. And the Kansas City Chiefs are red, white, and yellow. That's their colors. And this is back when I lived in Memphis. A basketball player of mine, he invited me to go see the Chiefs play the Patriots. And of course, being a loyal Patriots fan, I wore my Patriots jersey. Bright blue. Bright blue. There's no other blue in the stadium other than my jersey. And that's going to be okay because the Patriots, you know, they're coming off a Super Bowl win. We'll be fine. No, we got slaughtered. And by the fourth quarter, everybody in my very red, very yellow, very white section was having fun calling out to the guy in the blue jersey. You could have taken your jersey off, Dave. Well, the problem was I wore a blue Patriots shirt underneath. So there's no escaping it. Fourth quarter, all the way through the long walk down the ramps, out to the car. Oh, I heard it the whole way. I could not get away from it. I could not hide. I had been identified. They'd found me. The jersey had given me away. And that's exactly what the fruits of the Spirit should do to us. The fruits of the Spirit should give us away. They must be Christians. People don't believe what I have to say. When I'm talking about how Jesus is the way, they don't want to believe me. But they can't deny what Jesus has grown in your life. They can't deny it. It's irrefutable. The fruits of the Spirit identify us to the world, especially as this world grows caustic, faithless, melancholy with greed. Love, joy, peace, kindness will grab the attention of this world. And finally, the fruits identify true believers. Let me read this verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. We're called to have discernment, right? Discernment. Do I befriend them? Do I marry them? Should this person lead this ministry? Can I trust them? God gives us a clue, and that is to know them by their fruit. We can't know the heart, but we can know their fruit. Galatians chapter 6, 1-5, and this will be rather quick. But the final question for us this morning is this. What does the fruit of the Spirit look like in my life? What does the fruit of the Spirit look like in my life? Let me read Galatians chapter 6, 1-5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. This is a quick sample of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And as we go through this, let that correspond or show the contradiction to the pharisaical, self-righteous working of the flesh. A brother is overtaken by a trespass. What did the Pharisees do? Oh, the Pharisees delighted in that. Oh, who's into sin? Who's fallen? Oh, who doesn't look good right now and making us look good?
But what does a spirit do?
A spirit-led person does what?
He's led by the fruit of goodness or the benefits of others. So he doesn't think put down. He thinks restoration.
If you're spiritual, restore is the command. Well, restoration of sinners can be messy. You're going to need the
fruit of patience and long-suffering.
And the Bible says when you're doing this, do it in the spirit of gentleness. What fruit is that? Obviously the fruit of gentleness. Consider yourself. Will I be tempted also?
I need the fruit of self-control.
Bear one another's burdens. That's the fruit of kindness. By the way, remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? Oh, you guys, you like to bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves will not move but one finger to help them, right? The flesh says, ha, make it heavier for them. The spirit says, kindness, take the burden off them. And in doing so, you fulfill the law of love. The law of love, the fruit of love.
Verse 4, examine everyone his own work. Be at peace, the Bible calls us to, the fruit of peace.
The Bible is telling us, don't be in competition or look to impress others. Remember the Pharisees, their long prayers, right? Blowing the trumpet whenever they gave money, right? No. In humble fashion, you can be pleased with your own work that is done before the Lord, and you can have peace. And then rejoice. What's that the fruit of?
Joy.
Rejoicing, not that I'm better than someone, but that before God, I am following his will for my life. And then the passage ends, for each one shall bear his own load. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to bear the load of others. Is this a contradiction? For each one shall bear his own load? No, it's not a contradiction. It's two separate words. The Greek word in Galatians 2 for burden is different than this word in verse 5 for load. The word in verse 5 gives us the idea of a soldier's pack. Soldier's pack. And the Bible's commanding us to say, basically the Bible's saying, hey, soldier, you, follow the commander's will. Don't be sidetracked by comparisons. So what's that a fruit of? The soldier taking up his commander's will daily, well, that's the fruit of faithfulness. So there you have it. It's beautiful. There's 9 fruits showing up in this example in chapter 6. And so much more could be said. So much more could be said about the fruits of the Spirit. And I encourage you to go back to Pastor's series just a year ago. But let's ask ourselves this as we close up this morning. Are we frustrated that we don't see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? Are we frustrated? Maybe it's time to think less about the fruits and more about abiding. And then observe what the Spirit is doing in your life. My earliest memory of baseball was after church with the big boys. And I hit the ball and I ran to third. Everybody started screaming at me. That almost ended my baseball career. I had to learn, no, you got to go to first, and then second, and then third. We don't run right to the fruit. No, we abide in Christ. We pursue Jesus, and then the fruit comes after. Are we following the Spirit? Are we submitting, depending, and trusting? Are we abiding in Christ, satisfied in his will? Abiding in his love? Abiding, remaining in his word? Galatians chapter 6 gives us a promise, and we'll get to this next week, and that is what? You will reap what you sow. In a very positive way is what? If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap these wonderful fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Church, have you noticed Delaware and Maryland is in bloom? It's blooming. Much more so in our hearts and in our lives. May we bloom. May we grow fruits that Elkton, Delaware, Newark, out to Aberdeen, above us into PA, that people would see the fruits of the Spirit in our life and be drawn to the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray this morning. Father, our prayer today is that we would come before you, broken people, dried up of our own selfish will and our own selfishness that so easily goes through these channels of ours in our lives. Lord, may it be replaced by your Holy Spirit's power, that you, because we're abiding in you, your beauty, your righteousness, your power, your love would flow through our lives, and that the fruits of the Spirit would be grown. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, would you please stand? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let's sing another one.
and let this time be a time of examination. I bring you back to that dry piece of wood. That dry piece of wood. Broken. Are our wills broken? Dry. No sap of selfishness. Let's present that to the Lord this morning.